Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia for this Tuesday, March 28th in Hong Kong, Monday, March 27th in New York. And coming up today,
gains in financial shares lift U.S. equities after First Citizens agrees to buy Silicon Valley Bank.
The FDIC is launching investigations into manager conduct in the SVB and Signature Bank failures.
And the U.S. is suing the world's largest crypto exchange.
Netanyahu pauses his judicial reform amidst mass protests. Seven people have lost their lives in a mass shooting in Nashville. Biden calls again for assault weapons ban. Weather warning in India for extremely hot weather. I'm Ed Baxter with Global News.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, the business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. Available on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Doug Krisner.
And I'm Brian Curtis. Here are the stories we're following today. First Citizens Bank shares rallying more than 50% after agreeing to buy Silicon Valley Bank from the FDIC. In the end, the gain was 53%. Bloomberg Intelligence says the acquisition transforms First Citizens into one of the top 15 banks in the United States. The FDIC says First Citizens is buying about $72 billion of SVB assets at a discount of $16.5 billion. Bloomberg's Sally Blakewell explains why the deal to seal SVB's fate took so many weeks to occur.
I guess it was a very complicated situation. They had, you know, a lot of sort of deposits and assets, and, you know, a lot of them had this kind of upside down balance sheet where they had lots of these that invested and plowed money into these debt securities. That was a big question, you know, does the buyer want to take on all of that problem?
Roughly $90 billion in SVB's securities and other assets will remain under FDIC control. First Citizens' acquisition of SVB came also with an unusual provision, a $70 billion line of credit courtesy of the FDIC. First Citizens said that the financing is meant to help the bank meet liquidity needs as it integrates SVB into its operations.
Meantime, things could be going from bad to worse for executives at the failed Silicon Valley and Signature banks. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini explains why.
The boards and the most senior management at the banks have already been removed, and now management conduct at the banks is under the microscope. The chair of the FDIC says it's worth noting the two institutions were allowed to fail. And Martin Gruenberg also says the FDIC does have the ability to hold the directors, officers, professional service providers, and even other institution-affiliated parties all accountable for losses tied to the banks. And I should also mention that Gruenberg can also look at any misconduct in the bank's management. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Just to point out that Mr. Gruenberg will also be testifying at a closely watched meeting tomorrow. This is a hearing of the Senate Banking Committee that'll take place in Washington, and we'll have all the details on that for you here on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, the U.S. has made its most forceful move yet to crack down on the crypto exchange Binance and its CEO. We get more from Bloomberg's Ann Cates.
The Commodity Futures Trading Commission alleges in a court filing that Binance and its leader, who is known as CZ, routinely broke American derivatives rules as the firm grew to be the world's largest trading platform. The regulator says Binance should have registered with the agency years ago and continues to violate CFTC rules. Binance and its activities are also being investigated by the IRS and the Securities and Exchange Commission. Binance has been signaling that it expects to settle with U.S. authorities probing its business practices. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Well, Disney has begun the first in a round of job cuts, expected to total 7,000. These layoffs are expected to fall on all parts of the company, including theme parks and the ESPN sports networks. The cuts are part of a strategy saving Disney around $5.5 billion. This was announced back in February, you may recall. We have a little bit more detail from Bloomberg's Geeta Raghunathan.
We have about $5.5 billion in cost cuts. About $3 billion of those are from content savings, but about $2.5 billion are going to be from the non-content part of it, so the SG&A, and of course the headcount reduction is part of that. But the important thing is that the cost cuts are underway, and this is really important for them to get back to profitability. That is really restoring the magic for Disney.
Bloomberg's Geeta Raghunathan. Now, Disney CEO Bob Iger said the first group of employees will be notified about these cuts over the next 4 days or so. A second larger round will then happen in April, impacting several thousand workers. And the last of the affected workers will receive notice before summer. Brian?
And a big deal today in China, Saudi Aramco buying 10% of Rongsheng Petrochemical, one of China's refining giants. That story from Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann.
The $3.6 billion deal is Aramco's biggest ever overseas acquisition. It includes a provision for the Saudi exporter to sell 480,000 barrels a day of crude oil to Rongsheng for more than 20 years. It's the second deal in 2 days that will boost Aramco's exports to China. Earlier, Aramco and other Chinese companies agreed to invest in a new $12 billion refining plant in Liaoning Province. Aramco is doubling down on its strategy to be an all-inclusive source of energy to China. It aims to convert 4 million barrels a day of crude into petrochemicals by the end of the decade. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
I'm Brian Curtis, along with Doug Krisner. Paul Allen will join us in a few moments. So, Doug, a sigh of relief, really, in the markets with this First Citizens deal. And if you look at it, they're getting a 23% discount on the SVB assets of their choosing and leaving behind, you know, the rest with the FDIC. And given the massive gain that we saw in the share price of the acquirer, which you don't often see, I mean, a 53% gain, that shows you the market sees this is an extraordinarily good deal for First Citizens. And I'm sure that the FDIC is happy as well.
I think you're right about that. And it then takes the focus off of the banking system, one that has been kind of under the hot spotlight for more than 2 weeks now, it feels like. And it puts it back on the Fed and its response to the situation that we're in right now. Yes, there is stress in the financial system. We've seen that. But we're still dealing with this inflation narrative. And as we mentioned earlier, the PCE data will be out on Friday. Today, the market's becoming a little bit more comfortable with the notion of a 25 basis point rate hike in May. What happens beyond that is up for debate. Jeff Gundlach over at Double Line was telling CNBC today he believes a couple of rate cuts will happen before the end of the year. Rate cuts. So the question then becomes, what does that mean for markets?
He essentially thinks that the Fed will cave. It will give up the fight on inflation because of what he sees as recession coming. It's a view. It's not guaranteed. A lot depends on the data and a lot depends on how the Fed reacts. And that's what makes this job so interesting.
Then look at Carnival Corporation. The company beat expectations today, but analysts were disappointed by the outlook. Some called it conservative and the stock was down nearly 5%. So going forward, it's going to be really the outlook that may dictate a lot of the price section.
Absolutely. Now it's time for global news. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that he's pausing his plans to modify the nation's judicial system. Ed Baxter has global news from the 960 newsroom in San Francisco. Ed?
Yeah, Brian. Netanyahu says he wants to prevent a civil war. But demonstrators say the protests will continue. Estimates of tens of thousands who say Netanyahu is trying to become a dictator.
We all have to fight for our rights because of the plans of Benjamin Netanyahu that want to turn this nation into a dictatorship.
Now, this forced Netanyahu to address the country to announce the pause to avoid, in his words, civil war.
I give a real opportunity for a real dialogue. We insist on the need to bring about the necessary corrections in the legal system, and we are given an opportunity to achieve a broad consensus. This is a very worthy goal.
Now, for a time, the economy was brought close to a standstill as multiple sectors stopped work. The country's main union group then did call off the strike following Netanyahu's comments. Another mass shooting in the U.S. A mass shooting is defined as four or more people shot. ABC is reporting now there have been 128 in the United States already this year, just 3 months. In Nashville today, police say 28-year-old woman entered a private Nashville grade school.
She entered the school through a side entrance and traversed her way from the first floor to the second floor, firing multiple shots.
Nashville Police Department Don Aaron says six people were killed before the shooter was killed herself by police. President Biden at the White House event stopped to tell parents how sad he was to see this again, and
the shooter in this situation reportedly had two assault weapons and a pistol, two AK-47. So I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban. It's about time that we begin to make some more progress.
Parent Ashley Beasley says it has to end.
I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them?
And another community mourns its losses due to gun violence today. India's National Weather Office is warning of another heat wave in the coming weeks. This after the country experienced its hottest February since 1901. There are concerns that this could mimic last year, where India experienced temperatures as high as 122 degrees Fahrenheit. Meanwhile, more tornadoes, flooding, rain, thunderstorms are a threat through the southern part of the U.S. again later today and tomorrow in Alabama, northern Florida, and Georgia. Global News, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, and this is Bloomberg.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Brian Curtis, along with Paul Allen. This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, and we get to our guest, Sandy Brager, who is the Chief Client Officer at Esperient, joining us for a look at the markets. Sandy, great to have you with us. Well, maybe it's not a fully-fledged bank crisis that we have, but it's certainly more than a hiccup. It's an unintended consequence, perhaps, of the low interest rates for such a long period of time. And we're running a story on the terminal now, which is quite interesting, about this huge pile of hidden leverage that has been built up over the past decade. How do you see that developing, and is that a major issue to you?
Hi, Brian. Hi, Paul. It's great to be with you guys today. And we have concerns. The latest banking developments are being addressed by the government, but we don't think we're out of the woods yet. I think we're all learning that the Fed can't just keep cranking up the interest rates and nothing will happen besides a calming of inflation. There's a lot of different risks out there. And when we look at building portfolios for our clients who are corporate executives, family business owners, and entrepreneurs, we're really taking a very holistic approach. So when it comes to banking crisis, and especially being here in San Francisco, having the crisis, which I do actually think is a good term, unfold in our front yard, we've been spending a lot of time with clients making sure that the cash that they hold is safe in FDIC-insured accounts and also moving into treasuries and other things. So that's first and foremost, if clients are holding cash, it's because they have a short-term, high-priority need, and we need to make sure it's protected. In terms of their longer-term diversified portfolio, we really are taking a defensive stance toward things. The bond market, with the increase in yields, in the inversion of the yield curve, is signaling a recession that is here or is continuing to unfold. The stock market, though, is saying maybe not. So it is a confusing time for investors. We think being defensive and ready to move is the way to go. So we're in fixed income and client portfolios, liquid alternatives for some strategy, hedging strategies, and then also in very high quality stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to cycle back to your use of the word crisis there, because there has been plenty of debate whether or not what's going on in the banking sector fits the definition of crisis or not. But can we perhaps at least say that it looks as if it might have been contained?
It has been for now. And Paul, I think what the crisis is it's been a crisis of confidence, right? Really, it's been more around liquidity and making sure that everyone feels comfortable that the banks are going to have liquidity to meet depositors' needs, as opposed to being an issue of solvency. So that is a bit of a difference from what we've seen in past crises. And we think that the Fed and the FDIC, well, FDIC and Secretary Yellen are doing a lot to help make the market feel comfortable that the cash will be available to depositors and that the liquidity will be there. But meanwhile, we're concerned that these smaller regional banks, which are an important part of the economy, they are typically making 50% of the industrial commercial loans and about two-thirds of the commercial real estate loans in this country. We think they're going to be looking at new loans a lot more closely, and that credit will be tightened for at least a little while.
Do you worry about money leaving the banking system in the short term? Because you have treasuries offering so much more than what the banks are giving you in interest rates and money market funds and such, that it's natural. It's a natural consequence. And now that this is in the news, it's on everybody's newspaper on the front page. People are moving their money. And that means that banks are going to have to do a lot more and incur a lot more cost to keep those deposits. And it seems like if that's happening at this quick a time, it could be another problem coming.
It could be, Brian. I do think people do need to pay attention to their cash out there. It is a reminder to be very prudent. And you're right. There's lots of interest rate yield reasons for moving money out of cash and moving it into equivalents like very short-term treasuries for the yield and the tax benefits there. So it's something we've been working with clients on for many, many months. And I do think this recent banking situation has caused people to take a look at their cash with a lot more scrutiny than they have in the past. And when we look at the bigger banks in the United States, a lot of their deposits have stabilized, which is helpful. And that includes some of the bigger mid-sized regional banks. But it is troubling that we're still seeing to see some deposits draining off of smaller banks. And I can tell you just in terms of the clients that we're working with, a lot of that cash is going into treasuries if it wasn't already there.
Yeah. So in that respect, what's your allocation to bonds and treasuries at the moment?
Yeah. So again, we're using the treasuries more as a cash equivalent for clients who have cash reserves that they want to protect. And those reserves are set aside, as I mentioned before, for the high priority near-term spending needs. But within the diversified portfolios, we're about 30% fixed income across the portfolios, a little more in the more conservative ones, a little less in the more in the more aggressive ones. We have about 20% in hedging strategies. And then the rest, as I was saying before, are in equities with an underweight to U.S. stocks and a tilting toward overseas investments. That's where we see the bright light in this environment. We think there's a lot of benefits of investing overseas where valuations are lower, dividend yields are higher, and the recent softening of the U.S. dollar has been helping those investments as well.
So we had a relief rally today, and we saw yields bumping back up. It seems like people are heaving a sigh of relief on this deal being done. First Citizens Bank shares rallying 53%. That tells you something. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, but it would seem obvious that they cherry-picked the assets and still got a 23% discount on them. Looks like a pretty good deal. Your thoughts?
It does look like a good deal, and I think it is helping the government with the story of getting everyone feeling a lot more comfortable about deposits and what they're willing to do to make people feel secure and avoid this crisis of confidence that we've seen. Certainly possible that across other banks and other parts of the lending world outside of traditional banking, that we could see some more problems pop up as interest rates continue to increase. And I think the government is doing all the right things. And this deal I haven't looked at in particular, but just at first blush, that analysis sounds right. It sounds like they got a nice deal for stepping in and helping solve a problem.
In terms of interest rates increasing, we've got Jeffrey Gundlach of Double Line saying there's even odds that the Fed's done with tightening now, maybe a couple of cuts coming this year. What are your thoughts on that?
We pay attention to what other market commentators are saying, but we are not making decisions in our portfolios based on what might happen or what might not happen. So we're really maintaining our diversified stance. We think it's very difficult to get the calls correct on what the Fed's going to do and also get the timing of those calls correct.
Yeah.
So we're poised on the defensive side. And if we see a situation where stocks continue to rally much more, we might back off the stocks a little bit in the portfolios. Or if we see a situation where they fall in value and valuations come closer to what we think is fair value, then we'd move in the opposite direction and start loading up more on stocks.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, your morning brief on the stories making news from Hong Kong to Singapore and Wall Street.
Look for us on your podcast feed every day on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
You can also listen live each day on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Brian Curtis.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Join us again tomorrow for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.